The very first commandment of the Ten Commandments says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Remembering that Jesus taught us that the whole law really hangs on two commands, to love God with all that we are and to love our neighbor as ourselves, we see that the Ten Commandments are 10 things we will never do if we love God and neighbor. And the first thing we will never do if we love God with all our heart, mind, and strength is to have any other gods before him. The converse is also true. Whenever we fail to have God as the supreme love of our heart, mind, and strength, there is for sure an idol in our life. Something has replaced the one true God in first place. Idolatry has always been the main sin and root sin of God's people. Throughout the Old Testament, idolatry is always the main sin that God condemns his people for and for which he brings them under judgment. And God repeatedly refers to idolatry as adultery. In other words, spiritual adultery. The Bible makes it clear that we were created for spiritual monogamy, spiritual devotion to the one true God. And so that God refers to idolatry as adultery simply reinforces the theme of wholehearted love, devotion, and faithfulness toward God. This is beautifully expressed in Deuteronomy chapter 30, when Moses says this, as he sums up this great book in which he is really expounding what the Ten Commandments mean. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you not one religion versus another. I have set before you life and death. I haven't set before you one opinion and another. I have set before you blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. And this is what it means to choose life. Love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. What we see here is what runs implicitly throughout the scriptures from the first word and to the last. God deserves supreme affection. God deserves our supreme loyalty. God deserves our supreme thanks and praise. And God deserves our supreme obedience. And when you think about it, affection, loyalty, thanks, praise, obedience, these are the essential elements of worship. Not necessarily ritual worship, because you can ritually worship without those things, but any real worship, any worship in spirit and in truth involves these things. And this is why what we worship, according to the Bible, shapes our lives. Stated differently, our supreme love and desire will always give shape to our lives. The Bible says that those who worship idols become like them. By the same token, when we worship the one true God, he is the one who shapes us. And that's exactly what God intended. That's why he made us in his image. He made us to be shaped by him. He made us to reflect him. He made us to mimic and copy and to image him. We all worship something, even if it is ourself, our own sense of truth, our own sense of supreme value. And whatever we worship shapes us. Consequently, we can turn that around and know what we worship by looking at what is shaping us. For whatever is shaping us, our lives, our loves, our values, that is our God. In our modern culture, the supreme idol is self, self-truth, self-image, self-fulfillment, self-definition reigns supreme over everything else in our culture. This is the one common link that you can see that explains all of these culture-changing, earth-shaking Supreme Court decisions that we've seen in the last half century or so. what links Roe versus Wade with the Obergefell decision? What links abortion on demand with redefinition of marriage to include same-sex marriage? Well, self-truth, self-definition, self-fulfillment is what reigns supreme in all of that. And those decisions, in that sense, are true expressions of our culture. Our focus on self, our worship of self, has been exacerbated by our loss of any kind of foundation for real truth, for true truth, truth that is outside of us, truth that is true whether we believe it or not, the kind of truth that the early Christians died for. The early Christians died in the arena not because Jesus brought a new mystery cult into the world, a new religious experience into the world. They died because it was true. Jesus is Lord. Jesus, born of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin, dying on the cross for the sins of the world, raised by the power of the Spirit, ascended to the right hand of God. They may or may not have felt religious when they died. But one thing they knew, it is true. And for that reason, they died. But we have lost that concept of truth. And that's because we have lost our foundation for truth, because we have turned away from the one true God who is the foundation of all of truth. You combine that loss of any sense of true truth with self-worship, and you have what we see in our culture today. Individuals, each creating their own private sphere of reality and meaning and identity, and changing from one to another like a chameleon, desperately hoping to maintain some kind of sense of some kind of meaning. It also drives another expression of idolatry in our day, and that is the increasingly godlike size, power, and intrusiveness and control of the central government. You see, these two things, worship of self, self becoming God, and central government becoming God, those would not seem to go together, but they actually do in a very strange way. Because you need prosperity. You need affluence to maintain the high order of me worship that we're intoxicated with today. But the price you pay when we go down this road is that all law becomes arbitrary law, for there is no other basis for law. And so you have this irony we see today, the absolutization of the individual and of the government at the same time. These two, strangely, have a symbiotic, idolatrous relationship, just like in the old Roman Empire. As the old Roman Empire became more me-centered, more me, my experience, my entertainment, it also became more government-centered. And in fact, they began to actually openly worship the emperor, the one who brings the prosperity and the peace and the affluence you need to really maintain a truly high order of me worship. And thus we find ourselves today. So when you think of idolatry, simply ask yourself this question: what is your supreme love? What is your supreme desire above all others? What is your supreme authority above all others? What is your supreme source of truth above all others? And unless all of those questions are answered with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you're fighting idolatry. It's something that we as sinners are born fighting. And we will fight it as long as we live in this fallen world.